Well, good morning. That's good to see everyone. I know we got a lot of folks out today traveling and on vacation, and so let's pray for those who are out traveling. We also have some visitors today. We got folks come in from Illinois, New Mexico, and Utah. So it's good to have them, and our visitor from Louisiana is still here as well doing the temporary work, so good to have you folks with us this morning. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings as we... All right, guys, make your way in. I'll go ahead and have open us in a word of prayer, and we'll have our first song this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege and opportunity of being here this morning. I pray that you bless our service today. Be with the men as they sing and lift your voices, Lord, to minister to their church family. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, a little bit later during our greeting time and in our song of the month, Lord, or chorus of the month, that we'd uplift our voices, Lord, as we worship and praise you together. Father, meet with us today. Father, again, do what only you can do in our midst. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Exchange of some day for a crown. To the sing it with them. Thank you, John. I didn't know this song. Mike taught it to us. So Mike's going to be doing the main verses, and they're going to join in with the chorus, holding up their crayons to indicate the color. So some of you have construction paper out there. So when you hear red is the color, you raise up your red construction paper to participate with these two. If you have yellow, blue, or brown. So just listen. You're going to have to pay attention and listen and join them. And again, if you know the song, sing it with us.
Just a little child, no higher than your knee. My mother bought a box of crayons just for me. I picked them up, I opened them up, I looked way down inside, and the colors there reminded me of Jesus when he died. Red is the color of the blood.
Announcements this morning, and one I want to go in detail. You have an insert in your bulletin today in reference to Kids Mailbox Ministry, Kids on Missions. And as you remember, we have a theme this year, not only faith, family, and fellowship, but an aspect of getting involved. Remember, we have our pastoral care, our parishioner care, our proclamation care, and our property care. And this is going to allow our children to be involved in two aspects, and that is parishioner care and proclamation care. So I still send out cards and thank yous from the church and from pastor for birthdays and anniversaries, and we'll still have our mailbox at Christmas time to put in Christmas cards if you'd like. But if you'd like to send a special thank you card of encouragement or a little note to someone else in the church, there's a little mailbox set up in the children's classroom where you can go in and make your request. And there's also a place if you'd like to give an offering toward that, and it's all voluntarily, but it will go to missions. And that's how our kids will be involved in two areas, parishioner care and proclamation care. If you'd like to use a church envelope and just give a one-time donation toward missions, and use an envelope so you'll get tax credit, you could use the mail service throughout the whole year instead of just individually each time you want a service. I'll leave that entirely up to you. But if you'd like to take advantage of that, the information is on your insert. You can also see Brother Cherry and Miss Kitty. I thank you so much for your faithfulness and your giving of obedience unto the Lord, for giving of your tithes and offerings this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon the giving. Brother Leonard, please pray for us.
What a beautiful day you gave us today, Lord. Just a joy to be in your house this morning, as it is every Lord's Day. And Father, we just give you worship and praise because you are so deserving of it.
Yes.
Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your presence with us today. And Father, we just, as part of our worship, want to give back a portion of what you have given to us this week. And Father, we are so blessed to be loved by our God. Thank you, Father, for the gifts. Bless the gifts and the giver. The givers, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
For those of you visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a long time, this is the time where we come together for a time of prayer before the preaching and, of course, before the singing, as I pray for the men of our church and our church family as they pray for me in the preaching. So if you would just join us as we go before the Lord and asking God's blessings upon our service today. Let's pray together. Father, we are truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come before thy throne this morning. Thank you for your word that challenges us to come boldly before the throne of grace. And Father, this morning as we approach thy throne, we ask of you to do what only you could do in our midst this morning. Help us begin by putting away the cares and concerns of the world that we might fully yield ourselves to the preaching and to the teaching of the Word of God as we hear the special music in a moment to help prepare our hearts that we might be in tune with thee, Father, as you speak and minister to us through the preaching of your Word. Father, help us not only to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Father, we thank you for our visitors who are here visiting with us, and I know many of them just passing through on vacation, as we have many folks out on vacation. We're grateful and honored that they chose to be here with us this morning. We pray your blessings upon them while they are here in our area for a few days, and then make their journey back home with blessings and protection as they travel back. And then, Father, we have others that have been visiting with us on and off, Lord, for some time, and I pray that you minister to them as well and work in their hearts and their lives on a place where they can call their church home. And I pray that we help us during the interim to minister to them. And then, Father, we thank you for our church family that's here this morning. We thank you for the men of Harvest who stand and serve, Lord, in you and through their ministry here at Harvest. We pray that you'd help them, Father, bless them. I pray that you'd protect them, Father, guide their heart, their ears, their mind, their speech, Father, and help them to live a life separated, totally holy unto you. Help them to be a godly example at home, at work, and in your community. But, Lord, most of all, right here on our church property, as they minister to one another and to others in our family. Father, we thank you for our ladies here at Harvest Baptist Church and their desire to serve you and strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Father, I pray that you bless them and encourage them, strengthen them, Lord, as they serve together here with us at Harvest Baptist Church. We thank you for our children and our nursery and boys and girls that here, Lord, as they hear the gospel. Thank you for the young ones that sang for us this morning and for our class that children's ministry that continues to grow. Our nursery, and thank you so much for those who serve there in that capacity, that our boys and girls may be nurtured and loved on at a young age and hear the songs and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those men who serve you, Lord, that are outside our building now, providing security that we might have the freedom and comfort of worshiping you here in the auditorium. We pray your blessings upon them. And then now, Father, I pray that you'd help me this morning. Pray that you'd bless the reading of your word, that you'd help me this morning, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as I preach. Father, help me to be totally yielded upon you. And then, Father, is anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. Be with that Christian, Father, who may be struggling and discouraged. They may be challenged and encouraged through the preaching of your word. And, Father, even maybe that one here that's bitter, that's disgruntled, maybe really doesn't even want to be here this morning, but they're here. I pray, Lord, that your word this morning through our topic will minister to them and help them to see and maybe get things straightened and right with you the way they should and with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever the need may be, Father, may each of those be met through the preaching of thy word. Whether it's inoculation, a warning of to be careful, or whether it's encouragement and soothing and comfort, Father, we trust you to do the work which only you can do. And Father, once again, we ask again, please, Father, do what only you can do in our midst today. And we ask this in the wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our text comes out of 3 John at verse 10 before our special music comes. I think this is week number 5 on verse 10. I think we'll finish verse 10 today and we'll move on to finish up the latter part of 3 John and move right on into Jude. I think we've been just about 2 years on 1st, 2nd, and 3 John, and I've enjoyed preaching through this. I trust it's been a challenge and encouragement to you as well. 3 John in verse number 10. The Bible says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church.
Just another day in the city, some prisoners would die. The Roman soldiers were accustomed to the torture and the cries. There was a prisoner who was different, forgiveness in his eyes. There was a sign above his cross, I couldn't help but wonder why. What the soldiers didn't see was the hope for all the ages. They didn't know they'd killed the precious lamb. What they did not understand was this moment would change humanity. What the soldiers didn't see was me. The soldiers stood and guarded the tomb where Jesus lay, and they were given orders stars to watch both night and day. They had so many questions, but so much was unknown. Who would want to steal the body? Who could even steal the throne? What the soldiers didn't see was the hope for all the ages. They didn't know they'd kill the precious lamb. What they didn't understand was this moment would change humanity. What the soldiers didn't see was me. He walked out of that grave. His redeeming love rolled the stone away. What the soldiers didn't see was the hope for all the ages. They didn't know they'd kill the precious lamb. What they did not was this moment would change humanity. What the soldiers didn't see was me.
Amen. Have your Bibles there in 3 John. We've read our text this morning. We'll get right started this morning. I want to take a moment to take care of, not, I don't want to say silliness, but something a little different before we get a little preaching. We've got a couple celebrities with us. I don't do this very often. We've got a couple celebrities with us this morning. We've got a couple couples that have reached the milestone of 50 plus years in marriage. Hey, amen. Yeah. The Krieger family about there. I can't figure it out. Cheryl's still 25, but they've been married 53 years. I can't figure that out. But then Margot, can you imagine being married 50 years to Daryl? Well, what a blessing. I know you're out there, Daryl. That was all a jest, brother. But that's a great milestone that you've reached. I just want to commend you folks. We've got a few more years before we reach that. I remember some years ago when we were overseas in Germany, ministering to a military church. Michelle worked at the credit union. And it was one of our anniversaries. I can't remember, 30th, 40th, I can't remember. It wasn't the 40th because we've been back in the States 8 years. But I sent her a nice bouquet of flowers, had it sent to the credit union, and she was working there on the line. I can't remember if she was in loans at that time or she was still working on the teller line, but had them delivered, and everyone made a big deal out of it. There were several people there in the crowd waiting in line, the soldiers and their families or their independents again. And someone made a comment, well, what's that for? I said, oh, it's for my husband. It's for our 35th wedding anniversary. And some girl yelled out, to the same man? And so congratulations, gentlemen, for making that 50 and 53 or 55 year mark, whatever it is for the Krieger family. Congratulations. What a wonderful goal to stay in a holy matrimony to the Lord in marriage. Amen. All right, we'll get to more serious of the preaching, but again, seriously, congratulations, couples. And if there's others that met that mile mark in April, I'm sorry, because it's not listed on our list of anniversaries, so I didn't know, but if you've reached that as well, congratulations. Well, we have examined over the last several weeks three aspects concerning the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. And let me make something very clear. It is contagious. But it does not just attack non-believers as well as it does attack both non-believers and believers. It doesn't matter with your relationship with Christ. You can still have these attitudes and this syndrome, if you would, to say that we're looking at. We've looked at Diotrephes had negative traits. Diotrephes had an attitude of animosity. And then we looked at that Diotrephes is confronted about his deeds And then we looked at 9 principles of confrontation when you need to confront those. And today we'll look at the last 2. We'll be finished with verse 10 and we'll move on next week. But number 4, if you're counting which one first this morning, but number 4 in our chapter outline, Diotrephes made accusations. Diotrephes made accusations. Here in our text verse, "Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds," John says, "which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." Another element of the Diotrephes derangement syndrome is prating. You ready? Prating, or running your mouth with malicious, hateful, cruel words. Can you imagine being a leader of the church and being cruel and ugly to everyone? I would imagine that one service you'd look around, there'd be nobody left but you. But this is exactly what was going on. This word prating basically means to speak a bunch of nonsense, to make false, unjust, empty charges and accusations. And then also it can include foolish gossip. And Diotrephes was constantly running his mouth about John and other preachers that came through the community. His words were a bunch of nonsense and foolish gossip. And by the way, all gossip is foolish and evil, period. Blanket statement, end of statement, punctuation there, it's all foolish and evil. Diotrephes' accusations, again, by Bible definition, were prating and malicious. His words were hollow and they were empty lies that were sinister and hurtful to others. Imagine that for a moment. A local church, a community of believers, but yet one of the leaders within the church acted, his behavior was this way. Without a doubt, that is not the way Christians should behave. Hence, we're calling it this dysfunctional idea of his derangement syndrome of being just off. These malicious words were designed to inflict injury and pain upon the servants of the Lord. Diotrephes had a serious problem. And dear friends, if you behave the same way, you have a serious problem as well. This man, I would use this phrase back east where I grew up a little harder here, but let's say it anyway. This man was a snake in the grass that could not be trusted at all. So I guess he was a snake in the rocks for Arizona. But needless to say, he was a slithering snake. If he was a pastor or a leader in the church, he should have resigned immediately upon confrontation. Diotrephes had no business being the leader with this attitude and behavior that he continuously, by definition, displayed. Notice a few things. He broke down others instead of building them up. Is your testimony one of encouraging or tearing others down so that you look better? Instead of running his race for the God's glory, he ran his mouth for his own glory. Greed and gossip was his motive instead of goodness, or goodness and encouragement. Greed and gossip, again, was his motive. He had to be the center of attention and had to have his own way. Dear friends, does this behavior describe you or someone you know? If you want to know and you have that problem, let's just be honest. Ask your spouse. Ask somebody close to you. Hopefully they've already warned you or encouraged you in that area. But dear friends, there's one thing good about this type of syndrome. There is a cure. There is a cure. If you don't know the Lord, it's called getting saved. If you do know the Lord and you're away from the Lord, it's called getting right with God. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this type of behavior is unrighteous according to biblical standards. If you behave this way again, you are suffering from the Diotrephes derangement syndrome and you have a serious spiritual problem. See, malicious slander is very prevalent today, especially in the world of politics. I'm not going to get off on that, but I will say this. It's a shame that they can't get together and agree on things that everybody can get paid that works for the government. It's a shame they can't agree on some things and decide, hey, what's better for our country as a whole than me and myself? This rhetoric is ruthless and malicious. Prating is also done by folks in schools, sports, the workplace, and even in churches just to advance selfish and personal motives and causes. You see, power and popularity are craved by those with the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. People who are arrogant and crave their own way or desire revenge will viciously attack others to bring them down or to destroy them. Dear friends, it is sad to think that this happens in the church, but it does. This has been a hard study for me, and it's been challenging for me because as we're going through this study, and as I'm preparing and preaching this, and have been for the last several weeks, I'm also canceling some other younger preachers that are going through difficult times because of some Diotrephes they have in their congregation that are giving them a hard time, and they're at wits' end, they're stressed out, their family is discouraged, and they're wondering, where do we go from here? How do we fix this without causing a great divide? And dear friends, if you're a part of a local church that is united in unity and serving the Lord, rejoice in it. Do all you can to keep it from changing, that we might move in the right direction, because once the Diotrephes or Diotrephina, the gender of the other sex gets in, it can cause disruption. And that's why it's so important to talk to others when there's a problem. That's why it's so important to confront things, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, and not allowing it to continue and to fester. Guys, it's kind of this way. It's going to the doctor the first week you're sick instead of struggling for 2 weeks and finally going to the doctor. Sometimes spiritual things just need to be handled right away. Dear friends, there are many men who are not in the ministry today because they've had enough of prating people who make false accusations and attacks turn people against each other, that's hindered them from ministering to their church family. The toll of one's health and family can be destroyed, and their joy and their zeal to serve the Lord gone. Last week, I shared some statistics with you about the amount of pastors and preachers that have quit the ministry or given up. And I even hate to use the word quit. They've been kind of run out, and they're so weather-beaten and torn down and discouraged, they're not sure if they're ready to get back on again. This is not the best illustration, but I can tell you, I can remember as a young boy having my first real accident on my mini bike and getting beat up pretty bad and skin up on the asphalt. It took a while for me to want to get back on again because I was a little bit afraid of it. And as we grow older, there's still things that we're afraid of. There's still things that intimidate us. There's still things that makes us to maybe push away just for a little while. We know the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, look out. And there's a lot of preachers today, and I know we hear so much about people sitting in the congregation that have been hurt by pastors and evangelists and others, or hurt by other church members. But let me remind you, it happens the other way as well. Often pastors are hurt as well by things that take place or things that are said. And this is exactly what John was trying to address with Diotrephes. Many who quit say, again, I've had enough. I just can't take it anymore. King Solomon warned about this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26 and verse number 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Beloved, I want to make this very loud and very clear today. If you lie, slander, attack, and destroy a pastor, a minister with your words and your plots, you will give an account to God. And I would not want to be in your shoes today going against any man of God or godly man or woman who's serving God and wanting to serve. If you do this against another person, you will reap what you sow, or your chickens will come home to roost in your personal life. Dear friend, you will give an account of every word that you say one day. We all will. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Yes, words are sharp. Words can be hard. the way we treat others. And John is mentioning here, as he writes here in 3 John, in reference to Diotrephes, that I will address these things when I come. And dear friends, let's not allow ourselves to be taken in. If we find ourselves going in against someone and being this way, being harsh and being hard, why not reevaluate the situation, find out what we can do to make it right, and realize that we're only hurting others and eventually ourselves. Slander. Diotrephes had negative traits. Diotrephes had an attitude of animosity. His deeds were confronted, and Diotrephes made accusations. And then lastly, Diotrephes was never content or friendly. Never content or friendly. Here in the latter part of verse number 10, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. See, it was not enough for Diotrephes to tear down John and the traveling preachers. He was never content or satisfied with what was taking place. Now, we live in a world today where sometimes people feel that way. There's some areas of my life that I don't want to be fully satisfied in. I don't want to be satisfied in what I know about the Bible today. I want to know more. I don't want to be satisfied with what the Lord does in and through my life. I want Him to continue to work more and more in my life. But there's some things in our life, some things that pull us back, some things that drain us, some things that pull us away, as the epistles tell us with the runner, to set aside that weight that so easily besets us. If there's something that hinders us from running the best race that we can for the Lord, we need to put it off. We need to put it to the side and do all we can to serve the Lord as we serve one another. Years ago, we're all at this age that we know this. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But yet today, sometimes I wonder why we throw around slanders and words. Diotrephes, never happy or content. He was constantly annoyed with these men and refused, the Bible says here, to receive them. Diotrephes would not admit or welcome them into the church or show any kind of hospitality to them at all. Can you imagine that kind of church leader? That time of member of the local church not wanting to receive anyone unless they met their standard? His insecurities, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he had some insecurities that caused him to reject John and other guests because of attention they would receive from the church family. But dear friends, he may have been resentful of John's authority or even jealous. I don't know. But that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right just because we're concerned. I've made this very clear before. I have no problems walking into the room and not being the smartest guy. I've got no problem with that at all. I've got no problem with having people work on staff with me that are better preachers, that are better looking, can sing and do all those things. I joke about that often. It doesn't bother me at all because I know who I am in Christ. I don't need to have the King Saul syndrome and not want anyone coming up younger or appear to be better or better qualified than me. I have no problem in those areas. I don't want to be insecure in those areas. And if I am and I start to show it, I can promise you one thing. My sweetheart would say, should I call you honey or King Saul? She will. And I'm grateful for that. And that would be a hello, preacher. Do you realize where you're going? Folks, we need to make sure that we stay in our lane and serve God to the best and utmost of our potential. And that means by serving and uplifting and encouraging others. Yes, I need to preach against sin from the Word of God. Yes, without apology. Yes. But sometimes it's how we present it and how we say it and if it needs to be said publicly or in private. His insecurities may have been there, but still, we must remember this man loves to have the attention. Because he was selfish and focused upon himself, he shut others out. His selfishness made him blind to the needs of others and the importance of serving others. It appears that Diotrephes was on a mission to oppose these Christian men at any cost. His actions demonstrated that his priorities were wrong, but it was what was happening. And dear friends, how are our priorities? How do we deal with it when it happens to you? Again, his actions demonstrated that his priorities were wrong, but that is what happens to you when you must be number one and you must have your own way. Dear friends, I used to be that way. Let's just be honest. Marriage cured that. Don't have to be all about me anymore. I don't have to have it my own way anymore. Hey, I know I say that in jest, but think about it for a moment. Should we not be willing to forbear to give up our rights for the rights of others may go on if it doesn't compromise Scripture or go against our convictions? It might not be your preference, but do you want to make a preference a test of fellowship as opposed to Scripture and where you stand or where they may stand? A Diotrephes derangement syndrome diagnosis includes that you will never be content until you have your own way and you will do what it takes to get it. Unfortunately, the infected will discover that you won't be content when you do get your own way. There'll be something else that you're not happy with. Let me ask this morning as we try to land this plane. Do you follow the same pattern of Diotrephes? Teenagers, young people, do you receive your family or parents welcoming them into your life, or do you shut them out? Do you shut people in this church out because of your life, because you are annoyed with them or don't like how they worship or how they confront you when you do wrong? Do you just tolerate the church because you think we are a bunch of nuts or something? Well, that may be true, but not a good reason. Do you receive or welcome the brethren into your fellowship, to your circle? See, many folks could be a huge blessing to you if you would just make the effort to open your hearts to them. I'm going to go off just a moment, maybe meddle just a moment and come right. This just something that came to me. It's not an illustration. But maybe you're here today and you've been hurt in the past because of those that were infected with the Diotrephes derangement syndrome. Maybe you've been in churches and left because of the way they treated you or didn't pay much attention to you or overlooked you and didn't notice you were there. You ever notice sometimes when you go to a restaurant and you order your food, after a while you get a little bit comfortable, you get talking, it's almost like you don't even know your server's there. Maybe sometimes you would maybe have a conversation across the table. Not that it's wrong, but the one that you might not would have if you realized someone was standing there refilling your water or refilling your Pepsi. See, if we're not careful sometimes, we lock people out. We talk over them or around them and act like they're not even there. That's wrong. But you, dear friends, it's just as wrong if you've been treated that way in the past and continue to keep people at arm's length because you're afraid to get hurt again. That's not what the Bible teaches. You're isolating yourself because of how others or Diotrephes may have treated you. The best thing to do is forgive them for the way they treated you, whether they asked for it or not. Forgive them and go on and find a place to serve and to minister and be a part of that church family. Because if we're not careful, let's be honest about it, we've all been hurt. We've all been through difficulties. We've all had hardships. I'll go ahead and share one. Now, I'm hesitant to do this because I hate to make it about me, but everyone gets hurt. Some years ago, Michelle and I were very young in the ministry. We graduated from Bible college. We went on to the mission field. We got there. We were learning a language, learning a culture. And the missionary that was there that we were kind of attending services while we were studying the language and trying to get our feet settled in so we can go start our own ministry. He made the decision that he was going to leave and go study language for a period of time and then come back. And then he had some people lined up to fill in and to care of the church while he was away. We were still there. And we helped out in some areas while they were away. And they were gone for almost a year in language school, 9 months or a year. And when he came back to a ministry that had almost quadrupled in size. They had about 50 teenagers and college students that were coming for youth activities. And about 25 of them coming to the church on Sunday. Had ever the people beginning to come, people that had gotten saved, the church was growing. And we organized a very large welcoming party when they come back. We even got another church that had an orchestra to come over to play and had a big welcoming party. We wanted to welcome them back and so excited about them being there. And we were going to prepare to bow out and move out of the way because we'd been there, been studying the language, working, and had been preaching quite a bit. And we wanted to just try to go start our own ministry. And that was in the back of our minds. And the people came back. We had a wonderful party, had a great turnout. And then he spoke that day. And then I know things were different, But even in making the announcement to everyone that Pastor Don is coming back, we're so looking forward to having your pastor back. It was reminded each and every week of his return. Had a wonderful youth group, a college career class, and adults. And different all the celebrations that took place and all that went on after the service, him and his wife pulled me and Michelle aside and said, "We don't want you to come back. This is your last service." And we felt defeated. Now, we had planned already that we were going to gradually phase out because we wanted to start our own ministry. But to hear that. Now, we could have simply got upset and got angry, made a big huff, and did what we could, and then maybe even taken all the college and career and teens with us. But instead, we went and we actually moved to another community, not to cause a problem, and started another ministry. Encourage those college and career students, encourage those teens to support your pastor and continue in the ministry. I didn't want to be affected or infected by someone else's behavior that would hinder me from serving my Lord to the best of my ability. That's what it came down to. And God allowed us to start another ministry in another village where there was no church, and allowed us to continue to preaching in other villages and other areas that didn't have a church as we continue to minister there in that country. I said all that to say this, dear friends. Are we receiving people and welcoming people? Are we talking past them? Are we rejecting people? Are we doing all we can to make a difference? Have we been hurt, and so therefore we keep people at arm's length? Have we had too many diatrophies in our churches and people we've met, and now we're just kind of hopping around here and there and wanting to get the word but not making any total commitment or involvement? See, there's more. That diatrophy syndrome not only infects the person who has it and acts the way they do, it also causes hurt to other people, but also have a concern for those that get hurt. How do we respond? Do we respond in kind? Do we take our toys and go home? Do we pull inwardly to prevent and protect ourselves from ever being hurt again? Or do we dust it off, forgive that person whether they ask or not, and continue on in ministry? I don't want to take the time, but you know what? I can tell other similar stories in our ministry that happened more than once of just being, not the same, just being hurt. I can tell you about others of being hurt. I can name pastors today that are standing in their pulpit, preaching the word, wondering if it's going to be my last service. They've done nothing wrong. They have not compromised scripture. It's all personality. All personality. In other words, attacking their humanity because I don't like them. Dear friends, that's the wrong reason. Scripturally speaking, I'll just be honest and I'll get back on track. We may not have to like each other, but God, Bible does command us to love one another, to treat us with respect and love. The Bible does command that. If you don't like the preacher, I've got a couple questions for you. Does he preach the word? Does he compromise scripture? Does he stay with it? Okay, you may not. He may be a southerner and you don't like southerners. And by the way, we had a young lady tell us to our face once, "I just don't like southerners. By the way, I'm from the South." And that was from the pastor's wife at the church we were attending. Excuse me, daughter. It happens. Sometimes we have to have a thick skin. If I let that destroy me back in 1994, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have been involved in any ministries and churches that we started on the mission field or churches that we helped during COVID when we helped rescue churches. None of that would have taken place if I just got my feelings hurt and quit. I don't want you to be a Diotrephes, but I also don't want you to allow a Diotrephes to ruin your opportunity to serve and be involved in a local church. We continue to serve. We continue to move on and not allow those sayings to... Let me put it this way. I'm so glad that Jesus decided to stay on the cross. Hey, he was mocked. Beard plucked, crown of thorns, pierced in the side, given vinegar instead of water to drink. He could have come down. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he stayed there for you and I. And dear friends, sometimes we just got to stay with it and keep serving, knock off the dust and move forward if we've been infected or hurt by a Diotrephes. Yes, many folks could be a huge blessing to you if you would just make the effort to open your heart and your life to them. If you find yourself with an annoyed, unwelcoming attitude that walls people out of your life because of your selfishness or because you've been hurt in the past, you may have Diotrephes derangement syndrome, or you may have been hurt by one who's practiced that. But needless to say, both cases, both scenarios, either you've acted like a Diotrephes or you've been hurt by one, you both have something in common. You need to get it right. You need to forgive those who have hurt you. And if you've done the hurting, you need to ask for forgiveness. And whether the Diotrephes ask you for forgiveness, you need to give it either way, because it's the right thing to do and it's the Bible thing to do. And move forward in your life and your service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, if you're here today and you've been hurt by one who acts this way, why not just forgive them and move on? If you're here today and you've been guilty of hurting others, why not do all you can to make it right and move on? And not allow the devil to whisper in your ear of what you've done in the past that will keep you from serving today. Because 1 John 1:9 once again does say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we want to serve and be used of the Lord, we need to forgive those that have went against us, betrayed us, or hurt us. And if we have done the hurting, we need to ask for forgiveness that we might move on and be used of the Lord, that we might serve others. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. Our panelists will make our way to the piano, and heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. And just a moment, we'll have a word of prayer and opportunity for you to spend some time in prayer and reflection as the Lord speaks to your hearts this morning. You may be here this morning again with heads are bowed and no one's looking around but me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to remind you, if you're guilty of hurting someone, you know you've done those things in the past, why not ask them to forgive you? The Lord has probably already reminded you of who it was and what it was during the preaching. Why not just make it right? If you've hurt someone and you've been on the receiving end, why not go ahead, if you haven't already, and forgive that person and then move on, that God may use you in service for the Lord. But dear friends, the best way to prevent and to be immune from the Diotrephes derangement syndrome is to keep short accounts, stay in the Word, and be kind to others, and be faithful to his word and faithful to services that you can attend and not providentially hindered. Get plugged in. Serve. Allow God to use you. Father, you know the needs they're representing this morning. I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people this morning. And Father, again, I ask, is anyone here that is struggling about where they'll spend eternity? May today be their day of salvation. For those that may have been hurt and just feel left out and feel like they've been rode hard and hung out to dry, may they realize that forgiveness is just as easy as saying, Lord, help me to forgive them. Lord, I forgive them, and just get right back into fellowship and into service again. Father, you know the needs are represented. And Father, once again, we ask that you do what only you can do. May thy sweet Holy Spirit bring comfort and conviction as needed this morning, in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Our panelist is playing. If God has spoken to your hearts, the altars are open. If you'd like to pray, if you'd like somebody to pray with you, just come forward and let me know. We'd be happy to help you out any way that we can. But whether it's where you stand or here at an altar, you do business with the Lord. You talk to God and settle things with him. If there's others that you need to settle things with, don't hesitate. Don't put off to another time, but make it right today. Friends, again, where you stand or here at an altar, you talk to the Lord as he speaks to your heart. Settle things if you need to. Pray for those that are around you, those that you know that may have been hurt. Read if you know those that may have caused some hurting. Pray for them that God would convict and work in their hearts to make things right. if all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. As always, God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please not hesitate to ask. Those of you who are visiting with us this morning, we're so glad you're here. We've got folks from Oklahoma, Louisiana, Illinois, New Mexico, and Utah. We're so glad you're here, and I trust we were a blessing to you today, and trust that it was a pleasure to meet you, and trust the Lord give you safety as you make your journey back home later this week or whenever that may be. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back so I can greet folks as they make their way out. I'm going to ask Brother